We're going to read tonight from 1 Timothy chapter 6, the last chapter of the first epistle of Paul to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we will start at verse number 6. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honour and power everlasting. Amen. I charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. May the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's just bow in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee again for the word of the living God, and we thank thee, O God, for its precepts that are able to make us wise unto salvation, and also to lead us how we may live lives that are glorifying to God. And Father, we pray that thou would come and touch every believing heart. Our Father, we pray that as we have been singing regarding counting our blessings, may we truly count what God has done, and may we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Father, we pray just now that thou would defeat the devil. He would love to steal the song of the Lord away. O God, defeat him by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus. And grant, O God, that every child of thine shall be blessed of the Lord. And Father, for any are here who know not the Lord, O God, we pray that thou would speak to such. And Lord, by thy power, draw them out of nature's darkness into the glorious light and liberty of the sons of God. Our Father, we pray on that great day when we all get to glory, that no person here in this building will be missing in that day because they have rejected Christ as Savior. O God, speak now, we pray, by thy power, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it seems amazing. We're into December already. On another 3 weeks' time, we'll be in the Christmas season already, and much preparation is being made. If you take a moment, as you no doubt will be doing, at least many of you, the woman anyhow, maybe not so much the men, but you go along to the stores and you'll find that they will be packed with eager shoppers. And when I go to a place like that, I like to look at people and look at how they are reacting to the situation they find themselves in. And if you go to the stores, you'll find that people are going along carrying bags and purses and so on. And very often, they have pained looks in their faces because this is something has to be done, but I don't really want to do it. It's rather like a meal. When a woman makes a meal, the preparation is the hardest part, and the eating of it is not so difficult, but very enjoyable. And also coming up to this season, the preparation is a hard part. But what a joy there is, and what a reward there is when you look at happy children's faces rejoicing in the good things that they have received. And besides, it's a good lesson to learn that Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now that doesn't sound right, and you think, well, it must be far better to receive. That's not the case. Anybody who's done this will know that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And what that does, it helps us enjoy the Lord. Now, our first catechism question is, what is man's chief end? And the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And so the Christian believer is a signpost, and the people that we meet should be able to see a difference between us and the world at large. They should see in our demeanor and our behavior that there's something about this person that is not just what I see in other people. These people obviously have something about them, and when they ask about it, you can always tell them that you have been to the Lord. It raises a great question. What sort of advertisements are we for the Lord Jesus as we're walking around at this time when people are gathered and thinking of the Christmas season and yet maybe not thinking about the Christ of the season? I wonder what sort of testimony we bear. Sadly, it seems to be, it's not always the case with believers that they are seeming to glorify the Lord or enjoying Him, but rather some people who are believers seem to be enduring Christianity. And there's a verse that's been in my mind all week, and that's verse number 17, and the latter part of the verse, where Paul says to young Timothy, trust in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And so it is a time when believers need to enter in and possess the possessions that God has given to them. Now the first thing is that we have to recognize the source of all these blessings, because it says there, it is God. In trust in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Last Wednesday evening at the prayer meeting, Dr. Saunders gave us an interesting presentation of some of the pictures taken by the Hubble telescope out there in space, about 300 and so many miles up from the Earth. And they told us that that telescope is about the size of a bus, and it's going round there, and it's peering into deep space, unhindered by the Earth's atmosphere. Now, there's a well-known little song, and there's one of our beloved brethren here. It's a wonderful player of it on his violin. I'm not talking these little guys. But there is a song called Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. I'll not tell you who it is that has such expertise in playing that particular piece. Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And we look up and we see the stars twinkling. The stars aren't twinkling. They're appearing to twinkle because of the atmosphere between us and them. And so that's why they appear to be twinkling. And so if you take a telescope, you can't really get a clear view. That's why they put this Hubble up there outside the atmosphere, so it's looking into the blackness of space, nothing there to hinder it from taking photographs deep into space. And Larry showed us on Tuesday evening, in fact, if he'd been here, I'd have him to show it up on the wall for you here. He showed us some of the top 10 images that the scientists reckon they have got from this Hubble telescope. And the top one is called the Sombrero. To me, it looks rather more like a frisbee at a sort of an angle, an narrow angle. And that thing, Larry told us, is 28 million light years from Earth. And that's a very big number. It's very hard for us to grapple with. And then he told us that the scientists say in their blurb on this thing that it's a big thing like a frisbee, and the outer diameter of it is 50 million light years across. Now, that is terribly hard for us to come to grips with. But if you thought the sun is about 95 million miles from us, then if you were to go to the sun back at the rocket speed, 25,000 miles an hour, it would take you a month and a half to make one journey. Now, I hope you wouldn't be like the Irishman, and I'm an Irishman, so I can say this. But the Irishman, he said that he was going on a space trip, and while others were going to the moon, he was going to go to the sun. And somebody said to him, "But Paddy, that you get out there near the sun, you're going to burn up before you get anywhere near it." And Paddy says, "Oh, but I'm going to go at night." So he would not. So if you took that journey to the sun at rocket speed, it'd take you a month and a half just to get there and back again. Now, to cross across that thing that Larry showed us there on Wednesday night, that sombrero, it would take you over 1.5 million round trips to the sun. 1.5 million, back and forward, back and forward, back and forward. And you get some idea there of the immensity of this thing that's out there in space. It's out there, and what we rejoice in, that God made that. And God made all these things, and as we said on Wednesday night, that the book of nature is open to us more than at any time in the history of the world, because with all the advancements, they're looking into space, they're looking into tiny creatures, and they're discovering things that were not observable to people in earlier years. So the book of nature is open to us, and we can look up and we can say, "This is my Father's world. God made these things." And the God that made those things, He is the one that has the ability to supply all our need. The Psalm 104 tells us that the Lord opens His hand and He provides for the needs of the animal kingdom. And you'll find that another Psalm tells, 145, that God opens His hand and He satisfies the need of every individual creature. And that James tells us, just over a few pages, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down to the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So tonight we have a great God, and God gives to His people richly all things to enjoy. So whatever your need is, God is well able to meet that need and to cause you to rejoice in what He gives you by His mighty hand. Now that brings us to something else, and that is, there's a distinction that has to be made here, because it says, God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now the word "all" is normally a universal term. And all things, you would think, would be a universal term, but it's not. This is one of those cases when all does not mean all. Because a distinction has to be made in considering this. God who giveth us richly all things. Now there are some things, many, many things, that God gives that are to be enjoyed by us. Because over there in Psalm number 16, it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And those are the things that the Lord gives to us richly to enjoy. But there's a distinction that's ahead, because if you go over a few pages to the great chapter on faith in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, you'll find there that Moses was living in the lap of luxury in Pharaoh's palace. And in verse 24 of Hebrews 11, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." And so there are pleasures that God gives to us, and these are to be appropriated by us, to be taken by us, and to enjoy God's hand of bounty. But here are some things that are not to be taken, the pleasures of sin for a season. And this week I saw something that made me wonder how deep is the depravity of the human soul. I picked up the Toronto Star on Friday and just looking through it, and they were advertising a movie that's actually being shown down in the city, downtown somewhere. It's a documentary. And the documentary is on that filthy four-letter word that starts with the sixth letter of our alphabet. And this is put forward and is, according to the review in the paper, that it is used 800 times in that documentary. And as well as that, the character who wrote the review, Pavir, I call him Perverse Pavir of the Toronto Star, he gave it 3 stars out of 4 for excellence of content. And you look at that and you say, how much further down can humanity go? We live in a world of great wickedness, but the Lord wants us to keep our eye on Him, because there are pleasures forevermore at His hand. We are to enjoy the good pleasures that God has given and totally eschew the pleasures of sin that Moses eschewed in his day way back so many millennia ago. The next thing we need to look at is the blessings that are to be embraced. It says here, God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, in our makeup, I'm not going to get into an argument whether you're a dichotomist or a trichotomist. A dichotomist is somebody who believes in the soul and body. A trichotomist is somebody who believes in body, soul, and spirit. Not going to get into that argument, but I will say that we are made up of different parts. God has given to us a body, and this body is that which we use to live here on earth. He's also given to us a mind to think. And so we got minds where we can establish and reason and so on. And as well as that, He's given to us a soul. And that soul is that part of us that relates unto Almighty God. Now these three aspects, the body, the mind, and the soul, these are interrelated. And God Almighty provides wonderfully for all those parts that make up our bodies and our lives here on earth. Now the needs of the body are quite simple. We need food and water. Sadly, man is the one who has contaminated the food and contaminated the water. And of course the main problem is the profit motive. And so we're living in a world where they tell you don't take this and don't take that because it's polluted and so on. But the Lord has given to us enough food and water for our bodies. He also has given us clothing, or at least He's given us the substances from which to make our clothing. And the wicked man turns it to become a slave to the fashion houses of the world, especially those that have homosexual backgrounds to them. And then we need to have shelter, and whether we live in a tent or a mansion, God supplies our need there, and He gives us rest. It's a wonderful thing, you know, you go to bed at night, and you lie down upon your pillow, and you wait. And you wait, and you wait. You wait. What happens, gradually your brain begins to shift, say, I've got a gear. In fact, sometimes not very much in gear anyhow, but it begins to slip out of gear, and your hearing begins to diminish, and your sight goes, and off you go to sleep. And somebody asked me, well, did you have a good sleep? And I say, well, I'm not sure because I was asleep at the time. I don't know whether I did have a good sleep or not. But that's by the way. Sleep is a wonderful thing. And the Bible says that God giveth His beloved rest, or gives them sleep. And so we can rejoice together in that gift that God has given to us. Of course, you are to enjoy it in moderation. There are those who would maybe use it too much, but the Lord has given us to use it in moderation. And then also, He has given us for our body health and strength. Now, I know that as you get older, you begin to decline. And you young people, be ready for it, because it's coming. No matter how much you try, no matter how many medicines you take, it's coming. I have to laugh because in the earlier days, young people are talking about their prowess in this particular sport, and we took part in this, played golf or played soccer or football or baseball or something, and they're talking about all the prowess and the energy they have. Well, you get a little older, young people, you discover when you sit down to talk, you're talking not so much about those things, you're talking about the medicines you take, the surgery you've had or you're going to have, and so life gets different as we get older. But the Lord does prepare us for even greater blessings. I meant to get you to sing the chorus there, the count our blessings 2x2 and 4x4 and by the score, and it will surprise you there are millions more, because there are millions of blessings for the child of God, because when we get to heaven, they will be innumerable. And so God provides for us. So when you're getting old begins to decline, just thank the Lord for every day. I've gotten into the habit now, you probably laugh at me, but I get into the habit now, waking up in the morning, Lord, I thank thee that thou hast brought me safely to the 3rd of December 2006. Help me, Lord, to make the best out of this day. And the Lord tells us here, he has given us richly all things to enjoy. And not just sparingly, but richly. He has given us our food and our raiment and our shelter and our health and strength. So whatever measure you have it in, thank the Lord, because it has come from his mighty hand. But the second part of our being is that we have minds. God has given to us minds where we have an ability to think and to reason. Different from the animal kingdom. The animal kingdom, they act according to the instinct that God has imprinted in their lives. But the Lord has given to mankind this reasoning, thinking ability. He gives us a questioning mind. He gives us a mind that when we sit down and focus, we can unravel difficulties and we can solve problems. And also with the mind, we have been given the ability to be creative. You see, God has given us this as a gift. He gives it richly, all these things to enjoy. Now, the Lord has placed us not in a gravel pit or a gravel quarry. He's placed us here in a beautiful world, a world of beauty. The mountains, the seas, the trees, the clouds, and the animals and the birds and so on. What a beautiful world God has placed us in. And not only that, but to the believer, God has brought us to the place where we know he was the one who made these things. I told you about that atheist who came upon a beautiful scene, and he felt euphoria welling up within him. And he said, who am I going to thank? Because he didn't believe in God. But we don't have that problem, because when we see these things, we can thank the Lord that they are evidences of his wonderful grace and his provision. And those scenes that we saw on Wednesday night from this Hubble telescope, the beauty of those stars and creations out there, they come from God. And so the Lord has given us food for our minds. There's so many things to interest us and keep us rejoicing in the Lord. And then, of course, the third and most important part is the soul. Because the soul, this is mysterious. The soul is our priceless possession, because the soul is the essential me and the essential you. And while you might not be able to put a finger on it, you know that that soul there is a tremendous gift from God. The body will decline, and it does. The mind also sadly declines, and it does. But the soul is immortal. Because you see, deep down, people say, I've heard them say, I'm 70 or 80 years of age, but I still feel like I'm 21. That's because it's the soul that is speaking. It's not the body. The body is not 21. The body is much older. But the soul is immortal. And God has given us that gift And that gift there, we have the choice of having that soul which is sinful by nature. We have a choice of having it saved by the grace of God or losing it. And the Bible tells us, what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and to lose his own soul? For the saved soul, the trusting in the blood and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessings of God, they overflow. He has opened his hand of bounty and has poured out richly all things to us that we are to enjoy. And the soul that is right with God binds the body and the mind together. So body, mind, and soul are united in the service of God. And there is a tremendous blessing from that. But how unhappy is that person whose body and whose mind and whose soul is going off in different directions? All that does is bring in tension and frustration and defeat. It is the presence of God in our lives that ties all of these things together, and we're told that we are to enjoy them. God who giveth richly all things to enjoy. And you need to understand that the enjoyment comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's through him that we enjoy the things, and the Bible tells us that freely with him. Now the Lord gave us the gift of Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Freely with him, God gives us all things. Not all things apart from him, all things with him. And so we're told here, God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. The final thing I want to leave with you is the responsibility that is to be exercised. Because, first of all, we are to recognize that God is the author of all of our blessings. And that should therefore result in gratitude in our hearts. It should result in thankfulness. That's why we sung that hymn, Count Your Blessings. And it's good to take time just to sit down and count those blessings. Maybe not 1, 2, 3, 4, but remember them. I have had a practice I've used at different times, not all the time, but in my life, and just look back, especially if you're having a tough time and you're a bit down. Just start and think. The psalmist, he began, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And then halfway into the psalm, he turns his eyes off himself and he turns his eyes to the Lord. And before he gets to the end of the psalm, it is no longer a dirge, but it is a paean of praise. So we are to likewise count our blessings. I'll look back and say, well, Lord, remember that day when I had no thought of you, but you saved me. Lord, that was a good day. That was a great day. That was a transforming day in my life. And every believer can look back and do the same thing. And then you can look back how the Lord worked his circumstances to bring you and your family together, and how the Lord blessed you and your family. Those are great days, and you can thank the Lord for those. And for the advancements you've made, and for the different blessings the Lord has given. It's good just to say, thank you, Lord. It's a worthwhile endeavor just to take time out from a busy world and enumerate in your mind the blessings of the Lord. He has given us all things richly to enjoy. But there's responsibility here, because this is in a context. In chapter 6, the main focus here is in verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. And then down in verse number 10, he says the love of money. Now, it's not money itself. People misquote that. Money is the root of all evil. That's not correct. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil, which some coveted after. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So he's talking here not about the ungodly having this desire and this love of money. He's talking here about God's people, how that they have erred from the faith, and by doing so, they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Godliness with contentment is a great gain. But then down near our text, he says in verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And notice Paul's playing with this word rich, because he's telling us here that God giveth us richly all things to enjoy. But then he's also speaking here about those who are rich in the earthly sense and encouraging them to be very wise in the use and the responsibility in what is God has given to them. Now, you might say, but that doesn't apply to me because I'm not rich. Not so, my friend, because I have to take you down to our work in Jamaica and show you some of those people down there. Every person here, no matter who you are, you're rich in comparison to what they have. You go to other parts of the world and you find people there living in starvation and without proper means of sustenance and so on. And you think that you're not rich. You are rich when compared to them. So Paul says here that charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Now, high-minded, that is to be smug or to be filled with pride. If the Lord has blessed and prospered you, thank the Lord for that. But don't be standing up on pride and smugness, because anything you have has come from Almighty God. You didn't make it yourself, even though you may have worked. The Lord has, in His wisdom, He has prospered you. And so therefore, you can't boast about what you have or be smug about it. What you've had is a gift from Almighty God. And then he says also, tell them not to trust in uncertain riches, because riches are uncertain. Because people are tied into the stock market. The stock market goes up and up they go. The stock market goes down and down they go. And so it's up and down. And that's a wonderful thing that Paul said there in verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. In fact, you go out of this world with less than you come in, because all of us come in with a body. When we come to die, we'll have to leave that casket behind us. That earthly body will be left in the grave. So we are not to trust in uncertain riches because they will go. And when the time comes for us to go from this world, we got to leave them behind. I like that bumper sticker that I've seen. See somebody driving a great big camper down the road, great big bus trailer, says we are spending our grandchildren's inheritance. And I sort of think that's kind of cute. Because people are so busy amassing unto themselves all that they can get. And the whole time, we've got to leave it behind. We studied Ecclesiastes, and Solomon, he asked the question, when I go, who is going to get all this wealth that I have as the king of Israel? Will they look after it the way I've looked after it? So, folks, it's a matter that we are not to trust in uncertain riches, but we are to reach out. It says in verse 18, that they do good, that they be, here's this word rich again, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. At this time of year, we need to think of those who, and all the time, not just this time, but need to think of those people who are in not good circumstances at all. And we are to reach out and do good works according to what the Lord has told us here. He has given us of our bounty, His bounty. We are to share our bounty with those who are less fortunate than we are. Also, there's something else in this responsibility, and that is restraint, because it says here, God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. We are to enjoy the things that God has given. We've mentioned those things that have come from the Lord. But the other things that Moses saw, the pleasures of sin for a season, we are to stay away from that. The Bible says that all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. And so therefore in our lives, we shouldn't be looking down just to see the legality of a particular thing, but rather we should be looking, is it expedient to do what I'm doing? So we should restrain ourselves in the enjoyment of the things around about us. Now, there is a reception here because it says the Lord giveth us richly all things to enjoy. The word enjoy there is the Greek word pareko, which means two words actually, making up one word. And par means near, and echo means hold near. So he's telling us to reach out and take. Now God has blessed his people, and elsewhere in the Old Testament he tells his people, enter in and possess your possessions. And one of the reasons why many believers are not rich in the spiritual sense is because they have not entered in and possessed the possessions that God has given to them. Remember the story of an old lady, I think it was in north of Scotland, and her daughter or son had emigrated away back in the early days out to North America. And the child, daughter, or son, as the case may be, sent back dollar bills, green dollar bills. The old lady had never seen these before. And she got the letters. She loved to read the letters from her child. And she took the green piece of paper and she stuck them up in the wall of her little cottage where she lived in poverty. And here is the room papered with dollar bills. And she's living in poverty. If the poor woman had only known what she had, the riches she had there. And yet there are many children of the Lord, they're living in a sort of spiritual poverty because they have not taken unto themselves, they have not reached out, they have not drawn near to themselves the things that God has for them that loved him. God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. What a sad thing it is when believers allow the devil to take away their joy. How sad it is when we lose the smile and lose the song because the devil has got us focused on something else. We need to focus on the blessings of the Lord, and that certainly will fill your heart with joy. We are to reach out, as we do every day, take our food and the various things that are provided for our bodily needs. We are to reach out and take the things that are there for our mental stimulation. They are there. But the soul, God wants us to reach out and to enjoy the blessings that he has given to us. But the sad thing is that many people, when it says here, God giveth us richly all things to enjoy, and he holds out his son and the means and the way of salvation, and they say, no, don't want it. That's the pathway, first of all, to unhappiness, and then the ultimate pathway down to hell itself. How sad if there are people in this world, and maybe even this service tonight, people who are quite happy to avail themselves of the blessings that God gives, these riches and these all things that he speaks about, they're quite happy to take those things, the provisions of the Lord, but they don't want the person of the Lord. Brothers and sisters who know the Lord, let us pray that the Lord would give us a closer walk with him, that we may rejoice more and more. We spoke recently about the fire of the Lord. And the idea is that we would be so on fire for God that people would come in to see us burning. But not only that, that we should be so rejoicing and enjoying our salvation that people will want to know what is it that makes the difference and come to know our Savior too. But friends, this is a conscious thing that you have to think about and remind yourself when you're going out in the community that you try and avoid having a face that would turn milk sour, but rather to have the smile of the Lord there, because the Lord has given to us all things richly to enjoy. May we truly glorify the Lord and enjoy Him forever. Let's bow in prayer.